What's up, Yankee fans? We are back with another episode of Yankee Crazy Podcast. And it's been a while. It has been a while. Feel like I have said that a lot in the past year, have not put out a lot of episodes, but here we are. This Yankee season is over. Hate to break the news to you. That 0.00001% chance is not going to happen. Going to go out on a limb. We're entering September. They pretty much have to go something like 30-0 at this point. I don't even know if there's 30 games left. I haven't even checked. It's close. But by the way, we are in the mobile studio, aka my truck. So if sound quality is something it is critical to you, well, I apologize. But if you can bear with us on the audio, we got a lot of things to talk about. So where to begin? Let's start with all the big news yesterday. Josh Donaldson, gone, finally released, put that poor bastard out of his misery, and Yankee fans. And what's really comical to me is I sent out can we still call them tweets, X's, whatever you want to call it, X, formerly Twitter, sent out. I was feeling the Josh Donaldson impending comeback, and, you know, they said he was close, and, you know, what's crazy about that is he thought he wasn't going to go on the IL, and then they put him on the 60, so they were kind of like, oh, yes, get rid of this guy, put him on the Ellsbury IL, not sure if they can get that insurance money that they got with Ellsbury that had the insurance company pay for, and Yankees did not have to shell it out. Not sure what's going on with that. It's, you know, probably pretty shady with all that stuff, the Phantom IL and all that. But when someone said that he was hoping to come back in September, and this was only, what, within the last week and a half, it just was ridiculous. It's like, how are you going to bring this guy back who has had a pretty miserable Yankees career? It has been, you know, a couple of highlights, but overall, he's just done. I would be shocked if he doesn't retire and tries to go somewhere else. But you never know. These guys, you know, being in the game, you know, it's supposedly the type of thing where You miss it. You don't want to leave the game. But I think all signs point to him being completely done. Shocking if he does try to make a comeback with somebody. But anyway, when I had those feelings and about him coming back, I was like, oh my God, no way. This can't happen. I am going to freak out if he comes back. So I went to X, because that's where you go to tell everyone your feelings, right? My goodness, social media is funny, right? But we're supposed to be a legitimate podcast, and I don't know, can we say media company? Not really. I'm doing a podcast in my truck. How serious can we be? But anyway, I went on there and I just was like, I got to put it out there. And I said, if I see Josh Donaldson playing third base in a Yankee uniform ever again, I'm going to freak out. And guess what happens? 44 minutes later, Yankees release him. I got it from my Alexa. I was down in my kitchen and I see, you know, a notification comes on and it's like, Yankees release former All-Star, former MVP, Josh Donaldson. And I couldn't believe it. I thought I was seeing things. But that's what happened. He is gone. And it is pretty crazy. But it is a step in the right direction that the Yankees are coming to their senses slightly and seeing that at this point in the season, it's over. You got to play the kids. And the other crazy thing about within the last week is 1 through 4, I believe, was the same lineup every night. Although they switched Pereira out of there. Pereira was actually 4th. Another big thing, brought up Pereira, brought up Peraza, and those guys played real consistent those first, you know, we're only talking, what, 5 days? Peraza was out the other day. Oswaldo Cabrera played 3rd, who had a nice, really nice game. He is somebody that, you know, still pretty young. What is he, 24 maybe? Would be great if he could find it again like he kind of found it at the end of last season. But anyway, play the kids. Play the whole lineup being kids. You know, I understand how, you know, Aaron Judge is a big draw, obviously. You go to a game, if Aaron Judge isn't playing, I'm sure there's some people who are like, I came to watch him play. So I understand you got to put him in. Some people are saying shut him down. I can see that side too. But Hal's got to sell some tickets. And if the kids are not a big draw to someone and they want to see Judge, I understand it. Okay. But, you know, that lineup was DJ. DJ first, leading off, who has played a lot better since the All-Star break. Judge second, which I still don't like. All these analytics saying you got to put your best hitter second. Don't love it. Never loved it. And Glaber third. And then it was a couple of games in a row where Pereira was 4th. And I was like, great, get him at bats. I think they really should alter that and put Volpe at leadoff, get him more at bats. It's more important at this stage to get Volpe more at bats than DJ. DJ looks good. He looks good. He looks healthy. According to him, Sean Casey has helped him a lot. So, you know, DJ's a big boy. I think you could put him in the, you know, towards the back of the order and say, hey, DJ, we're just trying to get these young guys, especially Volpe, some more at-bats. And, you know, does Judge need more at-bats right now? No, he doesn't. We know what Judge can do, okay? So, Volpe, move Judge cleanup. Put him at cleanup. You know, why not? You know, I understand, what's his name? Glaber wants to, you know, you want to keep him in there. He's actually having a really nice season. So if you do Volpe leading off, bring some of these other guys. What about having Peraza be your number 2? Put Peraza in there. Put Pereira in there. You know, the other guys we want to see up, bring up Wells. Hopefully Friday he is going to be. I did a lineup of what the September lineup should be, and it was something to the effect of, we'll go through. Catching Wells, bring him up, see what he can do. First base, DJ, you don't really have any options there at first base unless, I don't know, could Oswaldo Cabrera play first base? I'd be intrigued. Put him there. Who knows? Maybe something could happen with him. Second base, okay, you keep Glaber there. Nobody really you can bring up besides there unless you put Cabrera there. Put DJ at first, Cabrera at second, he can play all over the place. Give Glaber some rest. Shortstop, Volpe. Although I saw an article recently about moving Volpe over to second base, which is intriguing. I would entertain that possibility just because if Peraza can stick, he's just so much smoother at shortstop to me. But Volpe's playing really solid shortstop. You know, as our friend Rob of BD4 was texting with me about if Volpe were to win a Gold Glove, he's got pretty good stats, and you know, all those analytics things, and I know they go by fielding percentage too, but you know, there's all that other stuff. If he won a Gold Glove, well, that would just tie that up, and I think the Yankees would not move him. But let's just say we'll keep him at shortstop. And then we are talking Peraza at third base. Outfield, bring up Dominguez. Have him play right field. If you want Judge to stay in there, have him DH. Center field, Florial, why not? Although Dominguez, I did not know Dominguez could play center field. For some reason, I thought he was more a corner outfielder. You want to put him at center field? I'm fine with that. But, you know, the other thing is bring Florial up. You know, I understand a lot of people say he can't make it in MLB. And I know there was a lot of strikeouts with him. But, you know, the Yankees wasted him. You know, a couple of years ago, could have traded him, packaged him with some other people and got him and got us some prospects at the very least. But they really screwed up with him. And he just wasted away in AAA. Had some really great numbers, but who knows? Maybe he's just a career AAA guy. But now is the time to just try and test him out. See what you got with him. Maybe he's putting it together. Who knows? But Florial and Pereira. You know, imagine if you had that outfield, if you put Dominguez, let's just say Dominguez in right, Florial in center, and Pereira in left. See what these guys have. You know, they brought Judge up. Judge was, in 2016, he was a September call-up. And if you go back and look, he had a ton of strikeouts. He had I don't even know. I'd love to look at the stats, but he was a K machine. And look what happens. 2017, he's Rookie of the Year. So get these guys the at-bats they need and see what happens. It's worth it. Why not? The season is done. It is over. So play these guys. See what you have. Get them more at-bats. And who knows? Maybe these guys show some things and left next year, maybe it's like left field Pereira is your guy. You know, maybe Florial does something and you're like, oh, well, maybe we should reconsider him. Dominguez, you know, some people are saying, oh, Dominguez, he's too, he's not ready. He's not ready to be brought up. You know what? Bring him up. It's September. It's a month. Just tell these guys, listen, don't stress. Don't worry about it. We don't care if you strike out every time. You're up at bat. All right? Look what happened with Judge. So I say go for it. Play the kids. See what you have. You know, besides, you know, you got nothing to lose. Even if you don't, Yankees seem to just waste away prospects in the minors until they have no trade value. So that's my spiel about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. So hold on. Hey, everybody. Just want to remind you that if you want more content from us, you can always go find us on social media. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can either find us at Yankee Crazy Pod, Yankee Crazy Podcast, on all those platforms. And can even send us an email, yankeecrazypodcast@gmail.com. All right, so reach out to us. And we're back. So, in other big news, Yankees put Harrison Bader on waivers. So Harrison Bader You know, you look at his average, and I didn't check currently what it is for 2023 season, but last I checked, it was like about .250, but he has had horrendous performance since the All-Star break, offensively. Defensively, he's still a great defender, although I gotta say, I've seen him track a couple of balls and take routes, although, well, to his credit, that was at the dump, aka the Trop, where they've got that crazy weird ceiling. So I know guys can't pick up the ball sometimes because it's white on white, basically. Whoever the genius was who designed that, I don't know. So we'll just say that was an anomaly. And he is a great defender. But offensively, something like the past 30 games, he was at 119. Something along those lines. You can't have your center fielder be batting that poorly. That's just not contributing anything. I would rather see Esteban Floreal see if he could hit better than 119. Oh boy. Or, you know, it's come down to it, and he's done a great job this season, but IKF in center field, which is kind of crazy. Very crazy. Guy you brought over to be your starting shortstop is now one of your center fielders. Yeah, make sense of that. But shows he's a great athlete. Still, IKF over his last 30, I would say he's got to be hitting better than 200. Maybe even better. He's had a really solid season in this role of doing whatever they ask him. Liked him over at third base, more of his normal position. Outfield, he's definitely a little shaky. But anyway, Friday, getting back to Bader. Bader put on waivers, so basically they, you know, some team could claim him by Thursday. I think the deadline is Thursday. Today is Wednesday. And I'm not 100% sure on waivers. You can still stay on the team, I believe, if no one claims you. So I guess that could mean, and I'm not 100% sure on that. Waivers, I never understood. Really, something that I really should read more about it. But could signal that he's gone. I could see some team trying to play, take a chance with him, and take him on as a center field defensive replacement, let's say. Not sure on the contending teams who has that need, but you never know. I saw the interview with him when he found out he was on waivers, and it was 10 minutes before the game. He was in the clubhouse kitchen in Detroit. Says he never watches ESPN, and it came on the bottom line, the scroll at the bottom, I believe. And it's funny because even he said, I didn't know even what waivers were. So he handled it very classy. As a side note, if you watch that interview, this was Yes Network put it on, and it was starts off with I almost said Aaron Brockovich. Meredith Marakovich asked him the question about that, of where he was when he found out. And man, some of the other interviewers, and I know these journalists, they gotta drum up something, get some quotes, but man, they ask some dumbass questions. I'm like, what? I can't even remember it. I think I blacked it out of my mind what he got asked, and it was like, really? Are you asking that? And he's got a lot of patience. He seems like a really nice guy. Bronxville native, right next to where my mom lives. And so, you know, obviously rooting for him. Would have been great if he had a really great season. He had that great postseason for us last year, which, you know, would have been completely out of it. Probably would have lost to the Guardians if it wasn't for his home run heroics. And was hoping for just a little bit of that this year. But never came to fruition. He is kind of injury prone and did, what, two IL stints? Not a guy you have faith in to re-sign. So what they really should have done, they should have known that this team was going nowhere. And when he had some value at the All-Star break, traded him then. For anything. Even if you get a prospect out of it who, you know, hit or miss, you're still being more proactive and a better chance that him trading him could translate into something. Who knows? Who knows? But anyway, Harrison Bader on waivers. We'll see what happens. He could be gone, or like I said, he might even stay, because someone brought up about how the Red Sox used to put Manny Ramirez on waivers almost yearly and no one would take him, and he remained on the Red Sox, as far as I can recall. So, Harrison Bader, obviously a sign that the Yankees are not going to sign him in the offseason, and I think that's a good move. Besides that, there's going to be a lot of decisions coming into this offseason. We will see what the Yankees do with the kids. As I was saying, would love to see Dominguez up. He just is, you know, and did he turn 20? I don't know how old he is, but, you know, look at Juan Soto. Juan Soto was one of those guys that came up at 19 and just started producing. Who knows? Maybe Dominguez. He got called up to AAA, and I think it was only last weekend, and had a great weekend series. And seems to be continuing. So it's like, why not? Bring him up. Forget about this being soft and seeing, oh, he needs another year. Let's stop the nonsense. Let's bring him up. See what he's got. If he wants to start out next season, if you're like, okay, he needs a little more seasoning in AAA, then do that. But gotta make some moves to solidify this team in the offseason, because it's in shambles. It really is. You go through this lineup, and who do you have? Catcher. You've got Trevino coming back. Higashioka, I don't know what kind of contract he's on. And I like Higgy. I like him a lot. But is he a guy you're like, feel really confident in? Are you a guy that you say, oh yeah, he is a guy that I want to see on a World Series roster? Not really. I know he handles the pitchers well. Gives you a home run every once in a while, but no, not having it. Trevino, yes, I think he's got at least another year or two on his contract, and great defender. This year offensively was terrible, but you know, he had that nagging injury that from the start of the season, and you hope that was causing him to not hit the ball. I remember some games watching him and being like, wow, the drop off offensively is terrible. You know, not like he was ever going to give you a 300 season and 30 home runs, but he was much more solid than he showed this past season, the season before. Hopefully, what was it, elbow issue, I think? Mario, check that out. Look that up for me. I can't remember. And, you know, obviously that's going to affect your hitting. And what's really puzzling is this Yankees medical staff, or who to blame. Look at this case where he's trying to play through it, maybe he didn't say anything and he's just playing through the pain. I can admire that, but when you become a detriment to the team, no bueno. Rizzo, another one. Rizzo, after that Tatis collision at first base that was so awkward, comes out, he's got a concussion. Guy dealing with symptoms of it. You know, would go back to the dugout and think, or maybe say, I can't even recall, how did he miss a pitch right down the middle? You know, saying he felt a little dizzy at times, felt a little lightheaded. I'm going to guess Rizzo's another guy who wants to play through it and just, you know, not want to go on the IL, wants to be there for the team. Again, admire it, but when you are a detriment to the lineup, you got to take yourself out. You got to talk to the medical personnel, although this medical staff is another one that needs to be reconsidered for people to fill in some of these positions. I don't even know. Between them and then the analytics department, and then you hear all this stuff about what they're teaching guys in the minors, it's a disaster. It really, really is. You know, you've got rumors. Some guy went on Eric Kratz's podcast and said they're not teaching fundamentals down there. They are drilling in exit velocity and launch angles. You know, I loved, again, our buddy Rob sending us a clip of Sean Casey talking about batting average, which, you know, I grew up with batting average, 300 hitters. Those are the best hitters in the sport. But then this new analytics stuff saying, oh, well, it's all these other statistics you need to look at. Don't look at average. But I loved how Sean Casey said, you got to look at average. He said, you look at the World Series teams. They are guys who have high averages. And in the playoffs, these guys who don't have high averages, they get exposed by great pitching. He brought up the fact about during a season, you're facing obviously a rotation with number one starters, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the playoffs, you are facing 1, 2, and 3, and then you got to face them again in a longer series. So that is a big part of where the Yankees are getting exposed. And I like Sean Casey. I hope he is back. The stats all say that Yankees are not doing much better with him than Dylan Lawson. I think that's not fair. I think you need a full season from him to work with guys. You know, like I said about DJ LeMahieu, he says that Casey speaks his language, and I like that. So hopefully he's back. Someone who I hope is not back is our pal, Uncle Booney. That is Aaron Boone, if you didn't know. If you don't follow us on social media, then you don't know the running joke that we like to post with Uncle Booney and how it's Uncle Booney's clubhouse with these guys, Uncle Booney's baby bombers, where he makes cookies for the guys after wins, losses, anything to cheer them up. Oh boy, it's a lot of ridiculousness. But speaking of online, we are at 1,999 on Facebook. So if you are on Facebook, go find us. Maybe you could be our 2000th follower. So that's actually, I'm pretty stoked about that, because that was something that was very low for a while, and then all of a sudden it shot up and now it's snowballed. So yeah, we love that. Anyway, we post a lot of ridiculousness, hoping to make light of things. But getting back to Aaron Boone, I can't suffer through another season of Aaron Boone. The guy has got to go. And you know, you could write to us. Or find us on social media if you want to email us. It is yankeecrazypodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to write to us and tell us why you think Aaron Boone should not be fired, I would love to start a dialogue with you. And I understand where people want to say, well, he's not up there doing the hitting. He's not doing the pitching. Right. I will agree with you. Aaron Boone has not donned the real uniform, only his little cut sleeve outfit he likes to wear in a very long time. But he makes the decisions, or so we're led to believe. Very big on analytics, very big on Cashman making decisions. But this is the part that kills me. This year, there have been, I think there's so many that I've lost count, but I think the running tally was up to 4 times where players have tried to go from second to third on a ball hit to shortstop every time they have been out. I know Volpe was one of them. Maybe Cabrera was one of them. Who else? I'm not sure, but come on. After one of those, I'll give you one. Okay, one person wants to do a bonehead move like that, and don't tell me it's aggressive and hard-nosed play. It's dumb. It's stupid. I think they taught us that in kindergarten Pee Wee League. All right? My coach, Mr. Rosabella. Oh, man, he was the man. He used to, this was softball. I think I was like kindergarten or something. Feeney Park in Pelham, near Shell border. Anyway, he used to pitch the whole game. My first team was the Twins. Played third base. I think we had numbers. I think I was number 9, of course, for Greg Nettles. But anyway, that's drilled in you from, used to be at least, but now it's, I guess, launch angles and exit velocity are the only big things. Anyway, one of these happens, Aaron Boone, I don't care what you do, call a meeting. Get the kangaroo court. Does anybody know what the kangaroo court is anymore? Kangaroo courts, if you don't know, used to be where the players, and it would be a judge. I know Mariano and, during Mariano and Jeter's time, there was a kangaroo court. I have a feeling it was Mariano was the judge. And at, I think it's like end of the month, all the players gather for this kangaroo court. And I guess it's kind of funny, but they give out fines. And a fine would have been given to all 4 of these guys for doing a dumbass play like that. So I haven't heard about it in years. So I need to investigate this, see if it's even a thing anymore. But if it's not, Aaron Boone needs to address it, and not just to the player. I don't care. Have a team meeting and be like, don't do this. All right? My goodness, the fundamentals on these guys. And, I was watching a game with my mom and my brother, and my brother, big, they call DJ LeMahieu Big Fundy because he is all about the fundamentals, but I would call my brother Roger Big Fundy too. He is all about the fundamentals, and I love it. He finds things about Volpe that I don't even pick up on, so shout out to him for that. And like when I was watching the game with him last week, he's like, watch the way Volpe turns on this relay. It was coming from left field, and Yankees lucked out because they were playing the Nationals, who were almost as boneheaded as the Yankees on the base paths. They ran into, like, man, I don't know, that one game on Tuesday had to have been, oh man, at least three base running blunders that they did. And he got lucky, but my brother was like, he's got to be turned a different way. And I was like, huh. Another thing he brought up to me was, watch the catcher's glove. After they give the sign, or, well, they don't give the sign anymore. It's on PitchCom, but when the pitcher has the sign and is ready, they've got the mitt up, and then pitcher goes into the windup. Catcher drops the mitt and then picks it up when the pitch is thrown. And I was like, wow, you know, not that I ever caught nor pitched, but always thought the catcher always kept up that target. Anyway, shout out to Raj for that. So where were we before we got on that tangent? Oh, Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone has to go. You know, they talk about a new voice in the clubhouse, and you look at last year, the Phillies got rid of Girardi. They turn things around, go to the World Series. I think the Nationals did it too in 2019 and ended up going winning the World Series. I felt like they should have done that at the All-Star break. If they really wanted to have a chance, they should have said, okay, Aaron, you are relieved of your duties. Bring in, I don't know, if you want to just bring in, not even bring in, promote like Rojas, who managed the Mets, third base coach. See what happens. Put him in there. I can't really remember if he was actually a good manager, but why not? Should have done it. Who knows? Maybe the Yankees make a little bit of a turnaround. Maybe they squeeze all they can out of this lackluster lineup. Who knows? But try it. But the thing is, they love Boone. They love Boone, and now all the rumors are starting that Boone is going to be there for next year, his fourth and final year of this contract, and they just like him being this puppet for him, and these dumb lines he likes to say, like, it's right in front of us. My goodness. He is, you know, talk about the power of positive thinking. If he could channel that into all the Yankees, maybe they could win. Because, man, he was saying it's right in front of us, and the playoffs are right there in front of us for, man, weeks now with this horrible slide. Anyway, I don't like his in-game decisions. I don't like his press conferences, which I try not to watch. And I just don't think that he is the right guy for this job. He's all buddy-buddy with these guys. He's probably like, after one of those plays, Uncle Booney probably goes over and says, hey, Anthony, let's not do that again, okay? He's probably so lame. He's probably like, oh, I don't want him upset at me. Here's a cookie. Oh, my goodness. But I hope he's gone. My Aunt Franny, who I text with at the game, she texted me what my uncle Tony had said. And I think this is actually very legit, that the Yankees should, and he thinks it's this is his prediction, and I think it would be great. Take Boone, say you are now the assistant to the traveling secretary, or whatever. He shouldn't take George Costanza's place, but somewhere in those lines, give him I don't know, make him head of analytics. He loves analytics so much. Give him one of those things and say, okay, you can ride out your contract doing this, and we're going to get another manager. Maybe it's going to be another puppet again. Maybe it's actually going to be a guy who is going to have a little bit of pushback on this. Maybe it's, I don't know. I just think it is time to move on from him. I also think it's time to move on from Cashman. Sick of Cashman. You know, him and all his moves that, you know, he's had, listen, I'll give him some moves that are good, but lately, not very good. And this team, the way he constructed it and thinking going into 2023 that this is a great team, missed out on left fielders, wanted to roll the dice with who they had in between Cabrera and who else was there at the time. I don't even know, but didn't work out. You had the opportunity to get Yoshida from Japan. No, he goes to Boston and hits 330 and is a solid lefty in that batting, in that lineup. And oh, what does he do? Oh, hits home runs at Yankee Stadium. Sure. He wouldn't have worked out well here. No. And he went there for like nothing. I forget what his contract was, but it was like, oh my God. If you think it's going to be risky, the risk was so low with what Boston gave him. And it is going to be one of those things that haunts us. I really think that. What you need to do now is go get Cody Bellinger, who the rumors were at the All-Star break that maybe they would go get Cody Bellinger. And then the Cubs said, nah, we're going to try and go for it. And last I looked, Cubs were in the third spot in the wild card. It's still a tight race over there. But, you know, they at least stuck to their guns and kept him, and he has been producing. Last I saw, he was at 320s, probably, I don't know how many home runs. If I had to guess, like somewhere in like the high 20s, I believe. But I don't know. GM needs to get out of there. I would love, you know, people throw up Derek Jeter and Theo Epstein, and Theo Epstein would be amazing. The guy, look at his track record. Between Boston and the Cubs, making those franchises go on to win World Series, incredible. I love Jeter. I don't know if he has the skills to be a GM. I know he got a lot of guys for Miami, and they're actually, you know, doing pretty well. So not sure how much he had to do with that, but I'd be open to it. Hell, I'd rather have, you know, to have someone learn on the job. I'd rather have Derek Jeter than somebody else. So that's kind of the state of the Yankees right now. We're going to take a quick break and be back, and we will wrap up with more things off the top of my head that I want to discuss. Okay, stay tuned. Hey, everybody. Just want to remind you that if you want more content from us, you can always go find us on social media. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can either find us at Yankee Crazy Pod, Yankee Crazy Podcast, on all those platforms. And can even send us an email, YankeeCrazyPodcast@gmail.com. All right, so reach out to us. And we are back. So let's finish up with some odds and ends. One is Ben Roethlisberger. Forgot about him. Ben Roethlisberger gets called up when Trevino got injured, and he is doing okay. Not great. Probably closer to terrible. What's really funny with him is he now has been catching Cole the past, I don't even know what it's been, three games, four games, and man, they get animated in the dugout, and it almost looks like Cole is just pissed off and angry at him. And, you know, if I was Gerrit Cole, I would be pissed off and angry that this team is wasting his Cy Young Award season, because the guy's been pitching incredible. And, I, you know, I got to give a shout out. I have bashed Gerrit Cole before, calling him a not an ace, but he has answered the bell almost every start since he started his Yankee career. He got that hamstring issue at the end of, was it 21? And that's when he had that really bad playoff, was it wild card, against the Red Sox. And he just looked bad. But I really think that was his hamstring. Although Boston has been a thorn in his side. I don't know if he has any wins against them. But anyway, Gerrit Cole, shout out to him. Pitching great. He is, I think he's only like 11-3, maybe. And I think they said due to bullpen breaking down and lack of runs being scored, like where, you know, Yankees scored one or zero in a game, he could potentially be at 17 wins. And that looks better, obviously, for a Cy Young Award campaign. But, you know, guys like Felix Hernandez, he won with a losing record, I believe. I think he was like 10-11 the year he won with Seattle. So, you never know. Would love to see him get it. Just feels like it's a wasted season for him because this team is going nowhere. Other guys in the pitching staff, Rodon. Rodon is, he's kind of been a mess. I think he's got one win against the Mets. Besides that, he has looked, you know, he's looked okay in certain areas, certain games, but overall, I just feel like it's whatever. Whatever for the rest of the season. I really, really don't care. He's got to come back next year and be really effective, be 100% healthy. You got to hope with his injury history that he is healthy. So we will hope on that one. Nestor Cortez, this is his second IL stint. Feels like six. He is done for the season. When he did come back right before going on this current one, he was touching 96. So, gotta hope. I don't really have a lot of confidence in Nestor. I hope he comes back and can slot in as a solid number three starter. Not 100% confident in that, but we'll see. Michael King, interesting. He is stretched out to be a starter now and looks pretty good. That would be great. If he could be a solid four in this rotation, maybe even moves up to third. That would be great. Other guys, Domingo Herman, I'm guessing we will never see him in a Yankee uniform again. And who's the other guy? Oh, Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt has actually been a bright spot. Besides, you know, him getting slapped around by the Rays was unfortunate, especially that he had, oh man, he had like 50 friends and family in the crowd for that, and feel bad for him because he did turn it around. Earlier in the year, I was calling for him to be completely out of the rotation. Looked terrible, but, you know, to the Yankees' credit, they stuck with him and he found it, got it together. Lucas Giolito is a guy who is interesting, free agent. Blake Snell, another guy. I would much rather have Blake Snell over Giolito, but, you know, Giolito's only off of, you know what, he's only like one or two seasons removed from, I don't think he won the Cy Young, but he had to be like top three, maybe? Top five? I can't remember. Haven't really paid a lot of attention to him, but could be intriguing. Yankees, you know, you need a lot of pitchers. Pitchers get injured, as we see. One of the things that they've been talking about on Yes broadcasts, I believe it was David Cohn or no, I think it was Jeff Nelson, who I really like, talking about how pitchers don't really run anymore. And that was so big, running and the long toss. He said that Mariano used to be out there. Mariano used to throw a football around, I believe. And then they would do the long toss, throwing from right field to left field. So I don't know. Is that a correlation between injuries? Because I feel like the Yankees staff never had as many injuries as they do now. I don't know. We have to maybe hire Carbone Analytics to research this and report their findings. It's interesting, all these injuries of these guys. You know, the other injury, you think about Aaron Judge. What if we had a full season from Aaron Judge? Would he's on the same home run pace as he was last year. Basically, he was hitting a home run last year every 11.3 at bats. This year, he is at 11.5 at bats. You know, the guy is fourth in home runs, and he has missed, how many games did he miss? Like 2 months? Is it, for some reason, 55 games is sticking out to me that I believe he missed? You know, would he have kept them in contention? You know, you can see the stats. This team plays better when he is in the lineup. I don't know. Lots of question marks, but as we said, going into this offseason, Yankees need to make a lot of moves, and maybe this dumping guys now and bringing up the young guys is a good sign that they're going to try and do the youth movement, because this other way is not working. You know, in if you look at who is coming back, well, like we said, Trevino at catcher, maybe it's time for Higgy to go, and Wells needs to be up here. Wells is, you know, he's a guy who I believe he's like 24 years old. He should be in the majors. I don't understand the holding him in Double A for so long, but again, I don't know a lot of the minor league stuff and how they do this. I just say, bring these guys up. See what they can do. Tell them for their mental space, we are sticking with you. You know, look at what they did for Volpe. Volpe struggled the beginning of the year. Turned it around. Looks good now. Is most likely going to finish with 20 homers, about 60 RBIs, and 20 stolen bases, 2020 guy. Incredible. Would love to see his average up a little bit. He's like at two. Last I looked, he's 216. I think he slipped last night. So would love to see him closer to, I don't know, 240 by the end, if that's even possible. Gotta go on a tear. But after catcher, I guess I would be okay with that. If Wells is as good as they say he can hit, you take Trevino. Like I said, hopefully this year his offensive numbers were down because of that injury. First base, Rizzo has another year left. Rizzo was actually playing really well before that injury. So hopefully he comes back, rebounds, and is good to go. Gleyber. Gotta hand it to Gleyber. Has had a great offensive season. He is pretty solid in the field. My only complaint with Gleyber are his blunders, his base running blunders. You know, just not knowing what's going on the field sometimes is like, dude, come on. This is, you know, these are things you should know by, you know, he's 26 now, entering those prime years. So I would say you keep Gleyber. It's starting to be a bottleneck in this infield again if guys stick. So if you have Gleyber at second, Volpe is your shortstop, third base, Peraza. I would love to see Peraza stick, but that Candelari, I can't remember. I don't know. Who went from the Nationals to the Cubs at the All-Star break. Not sure what he's doing, but a lot of people like him, and he's a free agent. Do you look at him at third base? I just don't know enough about him. I'd have to see. But then again, if Peraza is up and he's playing well, we'll see what his September is like. You also have DJ, who's hitting well. You know, maybe DJ becomes full-time third base and Peraza is your utility guy. And I think he could play second base, right? Can he play second? Has he played second base? Mario, look that up for me. Would be great if he could do that. And give, you know, Volpe. They never give Volpe days off. He had one for the first time. He did not play in a game. He's had other games where he has days off, but then he's entered the game. So right there, you know, it's a crowded infield. Unless for some reason DJ gets traded, but I don't know if anyone would take DJ with his contract, but I like DJ. I want to see him. I want to see him in pinstripes hitting like he's doing now. There's your infield. You also have Oswaldo Cabrera, who is that move around guy. Did not do well, got sent back down in the minors. I really like him, though. I really hope he can step it up and have a spot on this team. IKF, he's another one going into free agency. I believe he really loves being a Yankee. I think he would come back on a deal if he's needed. He is a great utility guy. He also pitches. Man, some of those mop-up games with him in it were like, oh, really? Again? But he's intriguing. He signed a one-year deal this past season for $6 million. You know, if needed, I'm sure he would come back in that same role. But kind of, I would take him as a bench player. But, you know, you still have these other guys. So it makes things interesting. Right field, Judge. Center field, Dominguez. Would love for him to come up and play. Left field, Pereira. You know, if you think that Dominguez doesn't have it right now and needs some more time, you got to go get a center fielder. Or put Judge there. Judge is a great center fielder, but I know they don't like this, like, wear and tear on him. And then you've got Stanton, who I don't see them being able to drop Stanton. They're going to have to give a lot of money up. Maybe, you know, they always talk about him going to the Dodgers. I don't know. If I'm the Dodgers, do I want Giancarlo Stanton? I guess I would take a chance with him if the money's right, but I'm not going to pay him. I think, you know, his salary fluctuates over these next, 4 years, and I think next year is a $32 million. That's a lot of money for a guy who pretty much can only DH. I know they put him in the field, but, you know, is he an ideal defender out there? You know, the Dodgers have Mookie Betts, who is, man, could be the MVP this year. And then when the Yankees played the Dodgers, they had that young guy playing center field who they really liked. I don't know what he's doing now. But if he's there, then, and I don't even know who plays left field for the Dodgers, but Would you really want Giancarlo Stanton out there? Would you really want him at DH? Guys hovering. I don't know if he made it over 200 right now, but, you know, been in the 190s. He's not good. He at least holds himself accountable. In that interview last week, he was like, I got to be better. This is unacceptable. I like the guy. Says the right words. Really wish he wouldn't be this immobile. You know what? 32 years old. 32 years old. He runs worse than me. Jeez. But anyway, in the bullpen, Wandy. I think there's another year of Wandy. Got to keep him. Who else? You've got Ron Marinaccio, can he come back and go be closer to his 2022 status? Not sure if he's doing well in AAA. I saw a meme of someone saying, this is Domingo Herman looking at Marinaccio's AAA stats, and it was a guy laughing. You know, that whole, if you didn't hear, Domingo Herman, when he came in before he went out on the restricted list, came in drunk, going into rehab, but he came in, broke a TV, started laughing at Ron Marinaccio when he's getting sent down. Crazy. Craziness. Other guys out there in the pen, you know, speaking of Carbone Analytics at the break, we actually were discussing. Carbone Analytics sent us Clay Holmes, who I thought was a free agent at the end of this season, but he still has another year left. They sent us a report, and the stats, it's kind of astounding, but Clay Holmes in the 7th, 8th setup role, he's got great stats. His ERA is tremendously better than when he's the closer. And right now, he's shaky. Had that horrible game where they lost in the 9th to the Marlins, like 2 weeks ago. And all signs point to putting him back there. He just can't handle it. You know, he's had brief success there, like in 2022, but I think that setup role, and after seeing that, presented by Carbone Analytics, it is eye-opening, and he needs to go back into that role, and we need a new closer. Jonathan Loaisiga? Loaisiga, did I say that right? Yeah, Loaisiga. Maybe him. Maybe Ian, the serial killer Hamilton. Another thing me and Rob were going back and forth with on text, and you know, he was sending me some stuff. I was cracking up. His whole thing is that Ian Hamilton looks like he's going to murder someone, and he does. He is a mean-looking dude. So we had this whole thing where he becomes the closer, and you know, you start calling him Ian the Killer Hamilton. You make his walkout song something from a horror movie like Halloween, the theme song from that. You know, could do a lot of marketing materials. One of the funniest things Rob said about that was, if you know pro wrestling, the Undertaker, where they would shut off the lights, and then all of a sudden he appears out of nowhere, and he said, if they shut the lights off at Yankee Stadium, and then all of a sudden Ian Hamilton is on the mound, that would be great. People would go crazy for that. I love it. I love it. I think we need to be part of the, or we need to head up the, what do you call, Yankees PR department. Could do so many tie-ins with Ian Hamilton. But yeah, he's a mean guy. He's a scary dude. Maybe he's got the mindset. I liked what he said about the Rays, and those guys are such babies. Oh my goodness. Randy or Rosarina. Hold me back. Hold me back. If you didn't see that, go look at it. Wants to slam his bat and then find the ump. Spin the ump around to hold him back. Oh my goodness, the Rays. But, you know, who is it? Lowe. What's his name? Brandon Lowe. Is that it? Brandon Lowe. Said, we're not even going to waste our time with the last place team. And it's true. He totally gave it to the Yankees, and rightfully so. But the Rays are still a bunch of punks. Can't stand them. Anyway, I think we covered everything. We get all the relievers. That's you know, obviously some guys are leaving through free agency. Not sure who, though. I don't know. Are we missing anybody? I don't even know. I'm not sure. I think we got everybody, but that's always something. Oh, Scott Efros, I think, is back next year, as well as, who's that other guy? Lou Trevino, who had some success here. I believe those guys are coming back, unless they're free agents at the end of this season. So, a lot of question marks, but that's always the case. Yankees, it's always been question marks. Except when they win a World Series, but then you still have question marks then. But as I always say, we shall see. But that's going to wrap it up. We'll be going into September on Friday. I hope to see call-ups of Dominguez, Wells, throw Floreal a bone and bring him up. Bader, I see, is starting again tonight, so I guess he's going to start until somebody picks him up, but, you know, you're not going to sign him, so put somebody else in. I don't care. Grab somebody from AAA and be like, if you're not going to take Floreal, and say, hey, you just won the lottery. Come up, play center field. Why not? What do you got to lose? Nothing. And I think that's all the guys that are coming up. What's his name? Spencer Jones. Don't know a lot about him. Outfielder. I guess he is definitely at least one season away. So he wouldn't be coming up because I think he's only in AA. Not sure there's anybody yet. Else, Greg Weissert. I guess they will bring him up as another arm in the pen. He has been up and down. And that's it. That's all we got, guys. So maybe we'll have another episode before the end of the season. We shall see if I have another long trip in my truck and I can sneak in an episode. Maybe we'll do that. I'm sure we will have a wrap up the season episode. Might go similar to this, but stay tuned. And that's it. You know what we always say. We'll try to give some enthusiasm this one, but right now, basically just watching games to see what these kids can do. All right, guys, that is it. Thanks for listening. Appreciate the support. And let's go, Yankees!